Well, good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to Unity Center of Light here in Bowie, Maryland, located in Bowie, Maryland. And I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pamela Mosby.
And we look forward to bringing you this service today. And as always, we'd like to remind you about joining us in Zoom. Today, well, you have to have known this ahead of time, that we're having a hybrid in-person and Zoom session together, which we do the first of every month. And if you're interested in attending any of the in-person services, make sure you check your e-newsletter or weekly update as to when those are happening. It's always the first Sunday of every month. So again, and if you would like to join us in Zoom, you can find that in your, like I said, your e-newsletter or your weekly update, the link for that. And we want to thank all of you for your wonderful donations and gifts that you've been sending to Unity Center of Light to support the work we do here so we can continue to serve you, provide these services for you, and to serve the community as we've been doing. So again, if you're thinking, if you say to yourself you've been inspired by this service and you'd like to donate, you can click the Show More button, which is right below this frame, and you'll see all the ways you can support Unity Center of Light. So with that, we're going to get started with Pamela.
Thank you. Good morning, Unity family, and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And now let's affirm our foundation statement. There is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the good, omnipotent. Amen. And now we will have the daily word reading for today, Sunday, October the 2nd. The key word is kindness, and the affirmation is, kindness is the language of my heart. I set the intention today to give from my heart, to show compassion and kindness to everyone I meet. I begin by being kind to myself. I take time for spiritual self-care and prioritize good nutrition, relaxation, and exercise. I'm gentle with myself when I come up short, filling my self-talk with words of affirmation and compassion. Being kind to myself makes being kind to others easy and natural. I am patient and understanding, and I seek harmony and accord in my relationships. I let the small irritations go, remaining calm and pleasant. I look for ways to lighten the load of others and don't hesitate to offer a helping hand. My kindness helps create the kingdom of heaven on earth. And the scripture reading is Matthew 25:35. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. Amen. And now we'll have the Sunday message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, hon. So we are continuing with this Science Behind series. This is actually part three, and today we're going to talk about the science behind grace. And, you know, this whole idea of grace may possibly be the most beloved topic, because whether or not we fully understand what grace is and how it works in our lives, grace is something that we all long for. Even though, like I say, we may not actually know how it works, when it's working, but it's something that we long for. So when you hear the idea of grace, that you're in the grace of God, I think there's something that touches the hearts of each one of us. And here's a definition of grace from Unity that April forwarded to me, which is kind of going to be the basis of this talk. And it says, grace is an upward pull of the universe, lifting me to heights of divine grace. Let me say that again. Grace is an upward pull of the universe, lifting me to the heights of divine nature. Thank you, hon. Okay. And actually, when I hear that, of course, I like to personalize it just a little bit more. And I say is grace is the upward pull of the universe, lifting me to the heights of my divine nature. And like I said, that's going to kind of be the basis for this talk. So while we have been on this quest to lift our consciousness up to our divine nature, this divine activity that we call God, according to what we just read, has also been working to lift us up to our divine nature. So we've been working to try to lift ourselves up to our divine nature. But according to what we just read, God has also been working to lift us up to our divine nature. So understanding this, that God's grace is constantly pulling us up towards itself, should hopefully help us better understand the purpose behind the practice of letting go and letting God. See, but sometimes, so often we use these slogans, you know, let God, let go and let God, or let go and let God be God in my life, you know, and we don't really understand it, okay? So this idea takes, this idea of God is also working to bring us up to itself, takes some of the doing out of the equation of striving to become more spiritual. If we can truly let go and let God, then God will do the heavy lifting. Now think about that. Maybe we're just trying too hard to be spiritual. When all we have to do is let go. Just let go and let God be God in our lives. But of course, the question is, still is, what is it I'm supposed to let go of? Okay. And I think we know the answer to that question, but at the same time, we don't really want to know the answer to that question because I think we know some of the dynamics that go on inside of us that we need to let go of. And we've talked about those in the last few lessons. And maybe it's because we do not really understand the reward that we will receive when we do let go and let God be in charge of our life and affairs. So let's look at Ephesians 2, 4 through 6 for an explanation of the potential reward of letting go and letting God. It says, like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of God's great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms. Now, we are going to break that down, okay? So if we think about the first line in the scripture, it is basically saying that because we do not understand and we thus resist the process of grace, all right, we resist the divine process of being raised up, this divine omni-active being should be angry with us. That's what the first line is saying, okay? It's sort of like the scripture in Mark 8:17, where Jesus appeared frustrated with his disciples, and he said to them, "Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear? Why do you not understand?" Okay? So why don't we understand? You know, and that is the question that has probably been throughout the minds of everyone throughout the ages, you know, trying to understand this deeper scripture or let's say metaphysical concepts that we've been hearing. But as the scripture in Ephesians expressed, even though we do not understand, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. Meaning even though we were resistant to letting go and letting God be God in our lives. That's what it's referring to in transgressions. This idea of being just let go of a lot of the stuff that is holding us down. And as the scripture explains, it is by grace that we are each being saved, regardless of whether or not we even know it. Okay? Because grace is always at work. And we don't have to be conscious of grace for it to be, you know, to work in our lives. And we also read in Ephesians 8, it said, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms. Not that God is going to do this, but God has already done this, raised us up and seated us with him in the heavenly realm. So to understand this, it's important to remember that what we have been studying is the nature of consciousness. As we said in last week's lesson, Jesus was a teacher of consciousness. He was trying to get us to understand how to awaken to that innate part of our being that knows how to interpret and understand the kingdom of heaven language that Jesus was speaking. Okay, then if you want more on that, we talked about that last week. So with that in mind, the verse it says, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms. It's telling us that this has already been done. So what we're striving to understand and awaken to is that we are already at the heavenly realm of consciousness. But we do not know it. Okay? We're there, but we don't know we're there. So like, you know, I always say about the fish in the water. If you said to the fish, where is the ocean? The fish would go, I'm not sure. But it is in the ocean. It breathes the ocean. The ocean is in it. It is in the ocean. Grace is in us, and we are in grace. Okay? So grace is working in our lives right now. Let me say that again. Grace is working in our lives right now. Or affirm that with me. You know, especially all of those who are here. Grace is working in my life. Let me say that. Grace is working in my life right now. Affirm that with me. Grace is working in my life right now. And because our consciousness has already been placed in the heavenly realm, okay, that's why we know it's working right now, because we have already been placed in the heavenly realm. But as Jesus said to his disciples, why is it that we just do not understand this? Okay? So the challenge with trying to understand the concept of the kingdom of heaven or heavenly realm is actually twofold. Okay? The first being, we're trying to use words to define that which is undefinable. Okay? The second challenge is there is no well-defined, clear-cut formula or pattern for reaching or achieving this level of consciousness. Now, there are guidelines and practices given to us by, you know, many great masters, you know, Buddha, Paramahansa Yogananda, Maharishi. I mean, we could go on and on. Even Sadhguru, who's now, you know, you find him a lot of his talks on YouTube. You know, there's so many that have given us practices, but every one of us who apply these mind-expanding techniques have totally different experiences and results, okay? So in addition, we have no real concrete idea that it is we, you know, what it is that we're striving for, you know? Somebody says, well, you're trying to get to the kingdom of heaven conscious. What is that, you know, and how do you describe that? But regardless of whether we can define it or describe it or not, it still requires a journey. And the journey that it requires is into ourselves to determine what is really going on within us that keeps us from seeing through the veil that separates us from our true self. Now, in an incredible martial arts, kind of a samurai series on Netflix that Pamela and I are watching. Now, I'm saying Pamela and I because she typically doesn't watch martial arts movies, but this one is so intriguing in terms of what it is teaching. But in it, one of the main characters came across that when you looked into it, it reflected back to you what was truly going on within you, okay? An image that most of us do not truly want to see, but need to see so that we can heal and move beyond that, okay? That stuff that's kind of holding us down from being pulled fully into a conscious awareness of where we have been placed, you know, as we said earlier. So this is what scripture calls transgressions, this resistance to really dealing with a lot of stuff in ourselves. This is what scripture is calling transgressions, ways in which we violate faith in ourselves. Let me say that again. Transgressions, as we're using it here, are ways in which we violate faith in ourselves. And again, this journey, as I've said before, is not easy, all right? As Jesus expressed it in Matthew 7:14, for the gate is narrow and the way it leads to life, and those who find it are few, Okay? So the challenge to being able to live consciously in God's grace is defined in the dictionary as being able to move from being unblessed with wisdom to being blessed with wisdom. And let me say it again, all right? So the challenge to being able to consciously live in God's grace is defined as being able to move from being unblessed with wisdom to being blessed with wisdom. So to do this, we first must be able to see ourselves as we really are, okay? As I said last week, one who takes time to just be is positioning him or herself to eavesdrop on the mind of God. And when you can hear that still small voice speaking within you, this whole feeling, thinking, doing aspect of ourselves begins to become less dominant, is the best way to put it, okay? So when you begin to eavesdrop on the mind of God, you start to understand what Jesus meant in John 5:30 when he said, as I hear, okay? Let me put that up for you. As I hear, all right? As I'm hearing this still small voice, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me, okay? So Jesus is saying, as I hear that still small voice speaking, as I eavesdrop on the mind of God, I begin to hear these truths, okay? And I judge these truths as being true, and my judgments are just because I seek not to do my own will, okay? So you start moving from being unblessed with wisdom to being blessed with wisdom. As you begin to be able to eavesdrop on the mind of God, which happens in your prayer meditation time, okay? As you begin to do that, and actually, as you begin to really work with it, it happens anywhere, anytime, okay? It happens a lot of times for me in my doing my morning walk is when a lot of these ideas and things come to me. And this occurs at its best when you're practicing just being still. It doesn't have to be physically still. Like I said, I do it, it comes to me a lot of times when I'm doing my morning walk. But you're just being still in mind. As Jesus said, not judging according to your own willfulness. That's another example of being still. Not judging according to your own willfulness. So when we become able to receive the answers to our questions, when we become able to receive the answers to our questions that we're asking of Spirit, okay, asking of the universe, this is called revelation. When you all of a sudden get it, it's called revelation, which means making something known to you that was not previously known, okay? And you become blessed with this wisdom. So when you have revelation, which I'm willing to bet many of you have had, you've had revelations about different things in your life, and when you had that revelation, you were blessed with wisdom. And revelation leads to redemption, which is when our lower consciousness, our self-imposed vibrations, are raised up to conform to the higher standards of our spiritual self. Okay, let me say it again. Okay, so revelation leads to redemption. And redemption is when our lower ego self-imposed vibrations are raised up to conform to the higher standards of our spiritual self. And at this level of consciousness, questions about our lives that baffled us, such as who am I really? What is my true purpose? Do I really make everything about myself? Why is this happening to me? All these other questions that, you know, that have us trapped in a reality that we're trying to break free of. Okay, when we experience that revelation and redemption, we get those questions answered. Okay. And when we get the answers from Spirit that we have been seeking, our reality shifts. Think about that. When you get the answers from Spirit that you've been asking, your reality shifts, okay? And when our reality shifts, we have new, exciting experiences happen in our lives. We experience freedom from those circumstances and situations in our lives that troubled and challenged us. Now, this is, again, the experience of redemption. And redemption leads to love. Because when we are no longer afraid, no longer addicted to a certain way of being, then, as Jesus said, we are truly free. We're free because we have moved from being unblessed with wisdom to being blessed with wisdom. And being blessed with wisdom is what we're calling grace. Okay? Now, according to Deepak Chopra, he says, grace is a state of consciousness where intention orchestrates synchronicity through leaps of creativity. Meaning, this is going to follow this, meaning you experience an abundance of coincidental blessings. And the dictionary explains coincidence as a sequence of events that seem to be accidental, but at the same time seem to have been planned or arranged. Okay? So simply, you're in a state of grace. Okay? You're in a state of grace when that happens. So good stuff just comes to you. Good stuff just happens for you. And from this place in consciousness, this state of grace, you truly can now live by faith. And as Paul expressed it, you have now begun to die to your old fearful, judgmental self. Okay? As he said in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Okay? And just a word of explanation on, you know, the Son of God. And this comes from the revealing word. It says, the Son of God is the full expression of the perfect conception of who we are in divine mind. Okay? So when you hear that the Son of God is talking about you, it's talking about me, it's talking about how we are the full expression of the perfect conception, okay, of who we are in divine mind. Simply, the Son of God is the true spiritual self of every one of us. It is the living word. So when you live by faith, you are enlightened and blessed with wisdom because you are in close union with your true spiritual self, okay? And when Paul said, I live by faith in the Son of God, faith is the ability to step into the unknown and be comfortable, right? Because we're going to talk a bit about this. So let me say it again. So when Paul said, you know, I live by faith in the Son of God, faith is the ability to step into the unknown and be comfortable with uncertainty. Now, this is how Deepak explained it. Now, this is a little complex, but let's just go with it. So we all live in the unknown. We all live in the unknown right now. Everything from this moment forward is unknown. What we refer to as the known is the past. There is no creativity in the past. Why? Because the only place there can be creativity is in uncertainty. And once you are certain, there is no more creativity. Once you are certain, you stop being open to creative possibilities, okay? I thought that was so powerful. So why is this? It is because our ego is comfortable with certainty and uncomfortable with uncertainty. Okay? Our ego has to have something it feels it can depend on. It feels that it can trust, okay? So we strive for certainty, for dependency and material reality, not realizing that uncertainty is the true inspiration of creativity. Uncertainty is where we move from being unblessed with wisdom to being blessed with wisdom. And this is because uncertainty pushes us deeper into that place in our consciousness that is the field of infinite possibilities. That place we talked about in the first lesson that exists in between the vibrations in what is called discontinuity. Okay? And remember, the discontinuity is that place where there is a lack of logical sequence as we would perceive it. It is a place of pure potentiality and infinite possibilities. This is a place we would not necessarily go to unless something drove us there. Okay, so we don't necessarily want to go to that place of uncertainty, okay? But when things drive us there, okay, And uncertainty becomes a perfect catalyst to steer us in that direction. So a lot of times you're saying, well, how do I get to this place, this space in between the vibrations, this place of infinite possibilities? It happens when you're in a place of uncertainty and you don't know what to do next. It becomes a catalyst to drive you to that place of infinite possibilities. Okay, so faith puts us in the upward pull of God's grace. And knowing we are in God's grace makes us comfortable with uncertainty, which is the very definition of living by faith. Okay. So when a person of faith is uncertain about something in his or her life, that person will have absolute faith that creative divine ideas are about to be revealed. Now, let me just say this again. When a person of faith, okay, think of yourself as a person of faith. You are a person of faith, and you find yourself in an uncertain situation, okay? That person, you, will have absolute faith that creative divine ideas are about to be revealed, okay? And a person whose consciousness has evolved to the level of faith will know without a doubt that they are being pulled up by God's grace. And everyone knows the story about the scribes and the Pharisees who brought the woman accused of adultery to Jesus, asking Jesus if they should follow out the law of Moses, which said to stone her. If you commit adultery, you get stoned to death. And what Jesus did is a great teaching tool for all of us. Scripture says that Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. You'll find that in John 8:6. Now, metaphysically, ground represents the realm of divine substance in divine mind. Okay, the ground represents the realm of divine substance in divine mind. And divine substance is the spiritual stuff out of which everything is made. Okay. So according to this series of lessons, divine substance is the discontinuity, okay? It is that space in between the vibrations, that place that transcends the limitations and reasonings of the material world. In other words, when we say it's impossible, and we know that, say, but with God, all things are possible. With us, it may seem impossible, but with God, all things seem impossible. It's pointing to that space in between the vibrations that transcends the limitations and reasonings of the material world. It's the feel of infinite possibilities. And Jesus was leaving us a message, a clue, by using his finger to point to where creativity springs out of uncertainty, giving us a clear knowing as to what to do in those uncertain situations in our lives. But to do so, you have to be willing to break the law of material limitations or reasoning. In other words, to enter into that place of uncertainty, okay, where infinite possibilities to exist, you have to be willing to break the law of material limitations or reasoning. In other words, your reasoning, your logical mind, your rational mind says, this can't be done, okay? Then you need to know, well, if I'm thinking it can't be done, then I need to become still so I can enter into that space in between the vibrations, that place where uncertainty produces unknown to me creativity. So in the scripture about bringing the woman to Jesus, the scribes and the Pharisees said, the law of Moses commands us to stone her. And they were stuck in the law, okay? That's it. This is what the law of Moses says. We just need to stone her to death, you know, no question, no, nothing. But Paul gives us insight into the laws of morality in his letter in Galatians 2:19. And this is from the New Living Bible. It says, for when I tried to keep the law, all right, but it condemned me. For when I tried to keep the law, but it condemned me. But I died to the law. I stopped trying to meet all of its requirements so that I might live in God. So here Paul is referring specifically to the numerous laws the Jews had that governed everything they did. But from a metaphysical perspective, this scripture is referring to the Pharisaical mind that does not know that truth comes into expression in our consciousness through love and understanding. So the Pharisees were looking for a physical act to meet the act of adultery. But instead of reacting, instead of allowing himself to become caught up in the negative reactions of the crowd, Jesus pointed his mind to divine mind and waited patiently for guidance so he could be able to do that. And, you know, he was able to do this in the face of turmoil that pops up that popped up in the time. So for us, when stuff pops up, turmoil pops up in our lives, we have to be well grounded in faith, knowing we are being pulled up to a higher state of consciousness by God's grace. And Paul said, when I tried to keep the law, meaning when I tried to react and fix the problems thrown at me with my own mind, my own reactions, what happened is that my reactions condemned me, meaning his actions threw him into the mindset of the turmoil before him. So he said, I died to the law. I stopped trying to meet all of its requirements so that I might live in God. And we all know, you know, our minds try to lock us into the drama life has placed before us. But Paul said, I stopped doing that so I could live in God. So when we link our mind with God mind, when we stop often and point our mind to God mind, as Jesus did, our consciousness begins to shift from I fear to I have faith. And when we can truly make that shift from fear to faith, our consciousness shifts. And when our consciousness shifts, our reality shifts. And we will know with certainty that we are in God's grace. As Deepak expressed it, when you reach the level of consciousness that Jesus was teaching, you will discover that God is not difficult to find. Rather, God is difficult to avoid. Did I say it right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. And so the affirmation I'm going to leave you with for this week is, today I feel running through me the presence of God's grace, harmoniously and joyfully governing my every thought. And so it is. Amen. All right. And we will now have meditation with Pamela.
Thank you for that message. Okay, Unity family, allow your body and mind to become quiet. And as you relax into this moment, know that God is here. Take in an easy breath and release it. Relax a little more and just let go into the field of grace. Grace enfolds you, reminding you that you are loved. Grace enfolds you, reminding you there is nothing for you to do, just be. Who you are is so precious. Who you are is a gift to the world. You have nothing to prove. You are enough just as you are. There's nothing you can do to earn God's love. It just is. God's love and grace are all around you. There's never been another you. You are divine and you are unique. Whatever is before you in this particular instant, know that you live and move and have your being in the grace of God. Please take the following words as your very own. I open myself in mind and heart to the oneness with the divine within. In this moment, I welcome grace. Grace is the upward pull of the universe, active in my life. When I am restless, it soothes me. When I am fearful, it restores my faith. The pull of grace is showing me the next step on my path. I rest in the sweet feeling of grace, filling my body and mind from the top of my head to the tips of my toes. Grace lifts me upward. And now let us move a little deeper into that secret place of the Most High, a place of peace, love, joy, and faith, a place you may enter into at any time. So we reach that door to the secret place of the Most High, and we step over the threshold and enter in, and as we do, we feel the light and love and peace of God flow over, around, and through us. We take a seat. And now we open our hearts and minds to the wisdom of the One. As you begin to return to the activities of your day, the upward pull of the universe remains with you moment by moment. When you are ready, breathe deeply in and release and join your Unity family. We are grateful in the name and nature of our Elder Brother and Wayshower, Jesus the Christ. And so it is and forever shall be. Amen.
Thank you. So this is the time we open our hearts and minds to allow some of the treasure the universe brings into our personal lives and allow some of that to flow into our spiritual home. We will say the prosperity prayer together, but I ask you, offering.
Thank you. Blessing.
But I ask you to hold your offering in your hand, in your mind, in your soul, in your spirit as we say this offering blessing together.
We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light.
Amen. All right, and now you have light notes.
Yes. I have some light notes. If I can just get this paper together. Okay, light notes for October the 2nd. This is a reminder to the Women of Unity about our upcoming get-together this coming Saturday at 2:30. Please email me if you haven't already done so and let me know what you will be bringing to contribute to the lunch. I look forward to seeing everybody there. The Book Light Book Club is extending their time in discussion of the book, Dying to Be Me. The new date is on October the 9th from 1 to 3. And then the next book by Michelle Obama called Becoming, that discussion date is November the 13th, Sunday, November the 13th. The Wednesday discussion group returns with a short series based on the booklet, In the Flow of Healing. The booklets are available at the office, or if you're going to be at the in-person service, then you can purchase them in the hallway. Do you have a trust or a will, or do you have a health power of attorney? We have invited attorney Ethel Mitchell to join us via Zoom on Monday, October the 17th at 7 p.m. She specializes in estate planning and has a wealth of experience. Please see your updates and newsletter for details, and please email Patty if you are willing to attend. And at the November 6th in-person service, we will have the Advent booklets available for you in the hallway. That concludes our announcements.
Okay. So now
it's time to bless the path we walk this week. So we're going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto.
All right.
Together.
I go forward in the spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous. And I am grateful.
All right. Let's go right into our prayer for protection together.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine, and all is well, and that's the truth.
All right. So it's been our pleasure to bring you this service today. And we just hope to see you next week.
Yes.
If we did not see you in Zoom today, we hope to see you next week. And just have a wonderful, safe week. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.